This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And Happy New Year, my friends. It is the first Sunday of 2024, and what better way to begin this year than gathering together in this time of worship? And it's my joy to welcome you to this time together, whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary. I'd love for you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you're worshiping online, there should be a link that you can use to place in your chat. Also, there's a QR code in the bulletin. You can use that to register your attendance and to keep up with all the announcements and all the things that are happening this morning, which are several things I want to highlight for us this morning as we gather. After worship, if you're here on site, we invite you to stop by a table in Reed Hall and look at the artwork that is being proposed. As a congregation, as part of our 150th, we commissioned several proposals from different artists, and our Art Inclusion Task Force has narrowed it down to three, and we want to hear from you. So you'll stop by that table and vote for your favorite, and that will help them over the next couple of weeks discern whom to invite to commission that piece of work. There's a youth parent meeting today at 9:45, just after this service, downstairs in McWhorter Hall, and the youth small group and youth ministry will start back up tonight at 5. Also at 5 o'clock this evening is our service of Teze worship. It will be in the fourth story theater. We'll have the labyrinth laid out, and it's a very special service of prayer and contemplation that we hope you will plan to be part of. This coming Wednesday, we will have a Wednesday night supper and some programming around calling and what it means to be called by God into a life of ministry. So we hope that you'll make a reservation for dinner and join us for that conversation. That's our theme for the next few weeks, is what it means to be called to follow Jesus. So we hope that you'll join us there. And then today, we'll say more about this later in the service, we are going to have available to you as you leave the service a bag with some chalk and a blessing within it for you to take home and bless your home as this season of Epiphany begins. And like I said, we'll say more about that later, but be sure as you leave the service, we hope each household will take one of those bags to be able to do a house blessing this afternoon. On this day after Epiphany, we hear the story of the Magi who came to worship Jesus as a child. We too have come to worship Jesus this day, so let us open our hearts and minds to do just that together in this hour.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Light of God, illumine the path that leads us to healing, hope, and salvation. Light of God, shine with such brightness that we marvel in awe. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Our lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, quote, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel,'" end quote. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. the word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite all the children to come forward and join me up here. You can come around this way because the communion rail is closed for communion today. So come join me, and if you're at home, just get a little closer to your screens. Good morning, good morning, and Happy New Year. This is my first time to see some of you this year. Hope everybody had a good Christmas and a Happy New Year. Come on up. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. Well, yesterday was a really important holiday in the life of the church, and we're celebrating it today. It's called Epiphany. Any of you ever heard the word Epiphany? Yeah. Epiphany is the day in the church when we remember the Magi who came to visit Jesus, the wise men that we just sang about. And they came to visit Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and they brought gifts, and they blessed them. And that's one reason why we give gifts to each other at Christmas time, is because that's what the Magi did. It's a way of showing our love for other people. That's how they showed their love for Jesus when he was born, is they brought these gifts, and they blessed him. So we were thinking about what's something we can do all together as a congregation that will help us remember the Magi and bless our homes. So we want to make sure that each one of your homes gets one of these bags. As you leave worship today, or as your parents leave, make sure they get one of these. It's got a piece of chalk in it, and it's got a little card that has a blessing on it. And we're going to invite you to use the chalk to write above the door of your house, or maybe on the sidewalk or your driveway or someplace on your house, this little blessing that invites God to come and bless your home as the Magi blessed Jesus' home. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we're amazed that these wise ones from far away made a really long trip to come and see Jesus, and that they opened their treasure chests and gave him such wonderful gifts just to bless him and his parents and their home. So we ask that you would bless us and our homes too, that as we start a new year together, we will stay focused on you and your love, and that's what will be most important to us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to children's church, and if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents and make sure to tell them to grab a bag on the way out. The story of the Magi is one of my favorites. It's one that appeals to little ones and big ones alike. The truth is, we don't know much about these wise ones, these sages who traveled so far to see Jesus. The verses that Erwin just read for us are it. That is all we have to tell us about these strangers from a faraway land. There's so much we don't know about them. We don't know who they were. Now, church tradition has passed down names of three wise men. Those traditions developed after the scriptures came into being. So we have some of that tradition, but we really don't know how many there were. We don't know that they were all men necessarily. We don't know their names. We don't know exactly what they were. I'm not sure what a magus was in those days. Sometimes it's translated astrologer. Sometimes they're understood to be priests or royal advisors or scientists, but they were likely considered some of the wisest people in their culture that others would go to for wisdom and counsel and guidance, even kings and queens. So we don't really know who they were. We don't know what they were. We don't know where they came from. We just know they came from the east. And pretty much everything was east of Israel. West of Israel was just the sea. So they came from somewhere east of Israel, which means they were not Jewish by tradition. They were Gentiles. So who, what, where, and when? We don't really know when they went to see Jesus. He might have been a toddler. Matthew's gospel begins with Jesus in Bethlehem in a house, and so we don't know how long Mary and Joseph and Jesus had been living in that house. So there's a lot we don't know. Who, what, when, where? Big question mark. One thing we do know, however, in the way Matthew tells the story, is why. Why these strangers from a faraway land who were not Jewish, who did not worship the God of Israel, would travel all of that way at all of that expense of time and money to visit this little child in the backwaters of Judea. They are coming, they say, to pay him homage, to pay their respects, to worship him. They expect nothing in return. This is not a journey of self-interest, not a journey so that they might get privilege and power. It is a journey they are making simply to worship, because they recognize that the God of the universe, who created all the stars, has given them a sign and is drawing them toward this child. And so they make their way. They get as far as Jerusalem, and then they have to stop and ask for directions. There are some jokes made about that, but I'll spare you those. They don't know the way. They don't have a road map. There's a lot that is uncertain for them when they set out from their homes, but they make it as far as Jerusalem, and then they consult with King Herod. In all good faith, in all innocence, perhaps in naivete, they ask King Herod what he knows about the child who has been born king of the Jews. So they learn to go to Bethlehem. That's where they go. The star leads them there. And when they find the child, they are filled with joy, and they open their treasure chests and give him the most extravagant gifts you could imagine in those days: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And after they worship him, they head back. Of course, the Holy Spirit has spoken to them in a dream and has let them know that Herod is not to be trusted and that they need to go home another way. They don't need to go back down the road toward the king and toward the seat of power. They need to find another way home. And so we have these magi who in some ways set an example for us as we set out on a new journey in the new year. Their journey is a contrast with Herod. So we have this other character in the story, King Herod. Now, this King Herod is different from the one that we see when Jesus and John the Baptist are adults. Later in the Gospels, it is the son of this particular Herod. This Herod in this story is Herod the Great. This Herod rubbed elbows with the likes of Cleopatra and Caesar Augustus. He was very wealthy. He built a lot of palaces and rebuilt the temple in Judea. He was a very powerful man. And when he hears the news that perhaps there's a king of the Jews, a Messiah, the Christ, has been born, the story tells us his response is fear. For him, Jesus is not a sign of God's love for creation. For him, Jesus is not a gift sent to him by the God of the universe for the good of all the world. For him, Jesus is a threat to his power. And all Herod cares about is his power and staying on the seat of the throne. So he pretends. He plays along with the Magi and tells them, "Oh, yes, I want to pay him homage too. So when you find out where he is, tell me and I'll go worship him." But thank goodness the Holy Spirit intervenes. But tragically, we know what happens after this story. We know the horrifying, devastating lengths to which Herod will go to stay in power. For he sends his soldiers into Jerusalem to get rid of every male child at the age of 2 or younger. And so we have in this story 2 different kinds of roads. We have a road that is guided by fear and power hungriness and self-interest and self-preservation. And we have a road that is guided by faith and love and blessing and worship. And the wise ones know when they wake up in the morning to head back home which road to take. And so the invitation that I hear in this story is for us. As together we begin a new year, this is the first Sunday of 2024, a brand new start, clean slate, fresh year. And it's an opportunity for us as a people together, as a congregation. It's an opportunity for us as individuals to take a moment to set our intention for the year, to say before God and one another the road that we are going to take. I felt deeply convicted by this story this week because I know the temptation that is within me to choose the road of fear, to go down the path of trying to preserve myself, to keep myself safe, to make everybody happy, to do things that won't make ripples. But I know that there is a road of faith laid out before me and before all of us. We don't know where the road will take us. But the wise men kept their eyes heavenward and followed a star, and they asked directions along the way. And they chose the path of faith, the path of joy, the path of generosity, the path of worship. And so as I move forward into this new year, I want for me and I want for us as a congregation to have as our absolute top priority the worship of God. The love of God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want above all else to follow Jesus wherever Jesus leads us, without fear and without hesitation. I want to be open to where the Spirit will lead us and guide us, just as she guided the wise ones so long ago. But it can be frightening in its own way. The unknown. We don't know what this year will bring. When I look back on the past few years, we've had a pandemic, we've had a building flood, we've had the tragedy of a mass shooting in our community, we've had a lot of staff changes together, so many things that came up that we weren't expecting. Individually, in our own lives, we've had struggles with health and relationships that we didn't plan on, and the road is bumpy with its twists and turns, and there is so much unknown. So how much more do we need to pause and set our intention today to follow Jesus down another road? Because we know a few things that are coming this year. Heaven help us, it's an election year. And there's going to be a spirit out in the world of meanness and division and demeaning other people who disagree with us. There's a general conference this year, and And there's a lot of uncertainty and fear and the potential for the same kinds of conflict and misunderstanding and mistreatment of one another. We don't know all of the things that are going to come up this year, but there are the ways of the world that we could follow. We could get involved in the power politics and the self-preservation and the fear-mongering and all of that, or we could be people who choose another road to follow Jesus, to follow his way of mercy and kindness and justice and joy and peacemaking and generosity. In just a few minutes, we're going to be gathering at the table, which reminds us that as we set out on this journey together, we'll be given what we need. We may not know where all the steps will take us, but we will have bread for the journey. And we'll gather around it together and be reminded that we have companions on the journey to encourage us and hold us accountable. And we have the word that will be our guidebook as we go forward throughout this year. And we'll have an opportunity as we gather to take a deep breath and reset our intention. So whether you're kneeling at the altar rails or sitting in your pews or receiving communion at home, I would invite you, after taking in the life of Christ and the bread and the cup, to offer yourself to God at the beginning of a new year, that together we might set out on another road. Thanks be to God.
In response to the gospel, I invite you to stand and to join me in reciting our affirmation of faith, which is printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to take your seats. And to remind us that in our community, one of the ways that we go a different way, the way of faith and belonging and blessing, is through the sharing of the concerns of our lives and of the mutual holding of the joys and concerns of our lives through prayer. We invite you, if you're worshiping with us online, to follow the appropriate links to let us know how we might be praying for you. And for those of us who are gathered here physically in worship this day in our sanctuary, to fill out the prayer card and to place it in the offering basket at the appropriate time so that our pastoral team might be praying with and for you throughout the week. Especially, I want to lift up to you a concern of our community. Let us mourn and offer comfort to our church family as we pray to our Lord as Rebecca and Stan Birchman and their family are mourning the death of Rebecca's mother, Jamie Catherine Taylor, who passed away on New Year's Eve in Luca, Mississippi. A celebration of life will be held in the spring in our hometown of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We also offer our sympathies to Dr. Carl Awe and family as they mourn the death of Carl's father. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of radiant beauty, just as you surprised the Magi with joy so long ago, so today you are surprising us with your grace. We give thanks that your dream for the church is for all people in all places, across all time, to experience the fullness of life in Jesus. We give thanks that your Spirit leads us like a star in the sky to each other, to friend and stranger alike. in this season of new and renewed beginnings, we ask that you would gift us with the faith and undaunted courage to return home by another road, to explore perspectives about you and the experiences of others that are unfamiliar and maybe even challenging to our own perspectives. That you would give us the undaunted courage, O God, to follow the nudge of your Spirit and say yes to Christ's invitation to ministry with him wherever he leads us. For those of us who are weary after years of searching, give blessed company and community in this journey. For those among us who believe we have already arrived at the goal or are in possession of the truth, grant us the humility to see ourselves again as beginners, lifelong learners of your love. By your grace, continue to form us into an epiphany people, a people who live with wonder and amazement at the most simple beauty of your creation, a people who audaciously believe and live into your justice and peace for all the nations, a community committed to receiving the unexpected one with joyous hospitality. All this we ask in the name of the one who is the destination of all our deepest longings and wonderings, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as the Magi came to Christ to offer their gifts in response to God's generous giving, so at this point in our liturgy, we have the privilege and joy of offering our gifts to God. So let us open up our treasure chests and give to God the gifts of our heart.
Thank you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide sages to where the Christ was born, and in your signs and witnesses in every age and throughout all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Pray with me now the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, this is the body of Christ, the bread of life, broken and given to all. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace poured out for you and for me and for all the world, inviting us to take another road. The table is now set, and all who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. This is not the table of the United Methodist Church or of West End United Methodist Church. It's Christ's table. He is our host, and everyone is welcome. If you have not received communion in this particular congregation, I'll give just a few words of instructions to help you along the way. Our choir will come to the rails first, followed by those in the transepts and balcony, and then the rest of us in the center of the sanctuary are invited to come forward and kneel at the altar rails. If you'll have your hands open, that will help our servers to know that you have yet to be served. All of the bread is gluten-free. And after you receive the elements, you're welcome to stay and kneel in prayer at the altar rail as long as you would like. If you're unable or uncomfortable coming forward, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with prepackaged communion elements, and we'll be happy to serve you in your seats. One of our traditions here is for those who are able to offer a second mile gift to one of our mission partners. And January's communion offering, we have the plates up here if you bring an offering with you as you come forward, will go to support our partners at Project Transformation, an organization which engages young adults in purposeful leadership and ministry, supports children in their development, and connects churches and communities through summer reading program. We've been involved in this ministry for many, many years, and it is a blessing for everyone. We're a foundational partner here in Nashville. So, my friends, the life of Christ is offered to us, bread for the journey. Will you come and receive?
Thank you. sermons, at the beginning of our liturgy, Pastor Carol mentioned that we will be engaging in a practice that is ancient. It's the practice of chalking the space right above the mantles of our doorways and marking them as a place of blessing, both for our families and also for all who will come and visit in our communion within our homes. I don't know if my
mic is on. There we go. So I was speaking loudly, so we'll try that again. We are going to engage today in the practice of chalking our homes. It's an Epiphany practice that dates back to medieval times in Europe, when Christians would chalk over their homes the names of the Magi, the sign of the cross, and the year, as a way of saying that this home will be a place of blessing and wholeness, not only for those who live in this home, but for all who come and visit. You might have wondered what this basket filled with these bags contains. In this bag is a piece of chalk. We have different colors because God is colorful, as well as a colorful guide for how you might engage in this blessing. Our prayer and our hope that is that as we follow a different road in this year where there are many things about which we could easily be afraid, as we follow that road of faith, that our very homes could be places of healing and renewal and life and blessing. As we go forth into the world to engage in that practice, as we go forth from this communion table as those anointed by Christ to be healers, I invite you to join me in our Epiphany blessing of the chalk, which is printed in your bulletin. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. Loving God, bless this chalk which you have created, that it may be helpful to your people, and grant that through the invocation of your most holy name, all who use it in faith to write upon the doors of their homes the names of your saints, Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar, may receive wholeness of mind, body, and spirit for all who dwell in or visit their home. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
now let us go from this place as God's faithful people to take another road, following the star, following Jesus, following love. Go in peace. Amen.